Hi guys, welcome to Level Up, the show around game development. Today I'm interviewing Samantha Kalman, who's an awesome CEO and developer in Seattle. She showed me her new game that she's so passionate about, and I was so impressed. If you like music, puzzles, and nice graphics, you will love her game. Today I'm with Samantha Kalman, CEO and founder of Tambor Interactive. And she's gonna talk about her career, her company, her new games, and everything.
All the things.
Hi, Samantha.
Hi, Sumo. Thanks for coming out.
Welcome to Level Up.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
I'm very happy to be in your very nice spot. It's really amazing.
Yeah, I found a little nook kind of tucked away on Capitol Hill, so I had to snag it when I had the chance.
It's really beautiful.
And I've been here for a couple of years, just making this game Centris. It's all about making music and puzzles and abstraction and creativity. It's like all these things.
I see how you're passionate about your game, but can we start from the beginning? What is like the degree that you had? How did you start everything?
So I didn't get into any colleges I applied to. And so then I ended up working at community college, or going to community college. Did a little work on like Xbox compliance testing. And then studied video production actually in community college, and then went into like tech. So I was working as a software tester for years, and had this huge chip on my shoulder of like, I'm not good at like anything creative. I just like test these websites. And then I happened to find this company called Unity. And they were really young. They were like three people in a little room in the IT University of Copenhagen. And they had a small community of people making games with their Mac-only tool. So I was, you know, a Mac girl, so I started using this thing. Ended up getting involved with the company and joined them as QA director in 2007-ish. So a long time ago. And I wrote a lot of the documentation for Unity. Shipped Unity for iPhone, I shipped Unity for Windows Editor, I shipped Unity 3.0, and kind of was like there as the company grew from like, I think 10 to 100.
Nice.
And so it was really amazing to kind of be witnessing the growth of Unity around me. And now it's like 500 people, and they're like, they own the world, and it's so funny. And so while I was working at Unity, you know, I was helping all these customers make games and learning how to make games myself, and really wanted to make my own games. So while I was working for them, I started playing in a band for the first time, which was a lot of fun. And, like, making music is an amazing thing. And I realized that everyone should know how nice it feels to make music. So I had this idea for this music game where you make your own song using like this puzzle structure. So I left Unity, came back to Seattle to my home as an independent. I started working on Centris, but it didn't quite happen. It didn't quite come together nicely. So then I spent a year and a half working at Amazon as a design technologist and prototype developer on the Fire Phone. So I worked on that project for a good long time, and then, you know, saved up money to go independent again. Took swing number two, and now it's working. So Centris is a thing, and it's out on early access, and yeah, just trying to finish it.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Very happy for you. Can you tell us about the game? How did you thought about the game? What's the meaning of these puzzles? You said puzzles, music, how to make them together?
Yeah, so I grew up playing games, Super Nintendo and, you know, adventure games, and have always loved games. And they're kind of like part of my DNA since I was little, you know? So I really believe in the power of games to do more than just provide entertainment value, right? And when I started playing in a band, I was facing my own creative block around, like, I don't think I can make music, but I had friends that helped me and like showed me how to do it. And I realized that was a privilege to have musical people help me learn. And not everyone has that privilege. Like, all these people that want to make music, only some of them get to. And everyone should get to. Everyone deserves to know that feeling. So I thought, well, a game is the perfect medium to be a substitute for a like that friend, you know, like a friend that helps you make your own music, and using, you know, using some commonalities in mechanics and like understanding like abstraction, like Tetris is a game that is a universal part of our culture now, but it's just these blocks that fit together, right? So circles are also really universal, and if you have a rotating circle, it's like an inverse clock. So, you know, looking at as a song as individual notes as blocks in a puzzle, and then you construct your own song by solving this puzzle or attempting to solve this puzzle. This kind of quality of games to do something that speaks to the player or allows the player to find something that is sort of under the surface of what they're seeing and doing. Like that's really important to me, and like I've played plenty of games where you shoot people, or I've played construction games like SimCity, and you know, I think that they can do even more, right? Like I've being a business owner now, it's like I understand sort of risk aversion and kind of leaning on solutions to problems that have already been solved. And sort of like what's popular, and let's give players more of that, and let's keep our business funded, and let's keep customer base growing. And so that's like kind of like the dry business side of it to me. But like
about the business, I had some questions there. How did you do to? You said you have fundings. How did you do to have these?
I ran a Kickstarter. So last summer, this would be summer 2013. I started working on the prototype of Centris, and In October, I launched a Kickstarter campaign based around that prototype, this playable prototype. I raised $50,000 on the Kickstarter campaign.
Nice.
And that was an incredibly difficult month of my life.
Why?
It's the most stressful thing ever to run a Kickstarter. And like Kickstarter's now, the press has Kickstarter fatigue, and so it's even harder to get attention on your campaign and to raise money. It's very, very difficult. And so learning how to campaign was a big part of it. And like, as a person that just wants to sit and write code and like talk about ideas and make things work and delight people, it's like, I don't want to go out and toot my own horn and like ask for money, like, but I had to do all those things. So I did that, the Kickstarter, and as part of the Kickstarter, I took advantage of an offer from Ouya called Free the Games, which is Ouya is like an Android-based microconsole, and they were offering to all Kickstarters for a year-long period. They were saying, if you get funded and you're part of our program, we'll give you additional funding. We want you to ship your game on Ouya.
Nice.
So I'm working with them on that. So the game is, funded from Kickstarter and Ouya, and it's out now on Early Access on Steam for Mac and PC and SteamOS.
Nice.
And it's coming to Ouya Early Access soon with the next build. So just trying to ship on all the platforms.
Yeah, nice, and congratulations.
Then, Thank you.
Are you thinking about phone and tablet maybe?
Yeah, I mean, lots of people do mobile first, but I'm doing mobile last because I want the game to be a really excellent controller experience. And I want it to be sort of like I'm a console kid, right? Like I grew up playing SNES and Dreamcast and PlayStation. So I want the game to come to console. And Ouya is a micro console, so it's you know, you play it with a controller.
Are you thinking about Xbox maybe?
I really want to ship on Xbox. I really want to ship on PlayStation. I don't have any announcements to make about that stuff, but you know, I'd like
but
to.
But it's in the plan.
Yeah, it's in the plan. It's a long-term project for me. So lots of different platforms, lots of ports. iPad makes a lot of sense for the game. Android tablets make sense down the road.
Yeah.
But I also see the game as an invention. So if I put it on mobile, I know that there's a lot of people looking at what's popular and then cloning. And I'm not interested in having my game cloned sort of before people understand what Centris is.
Yeah.
So that was a business decision I made, I guess.
It's reasonable. Reasonable. It's all about trade-offs.
Yeah, for sure. So no, I've worked with a few people on collaboration. There's a local artist named Isaac Moody who did some backgrounds for the game. And I'm working with more artists to do more backgrounds. There's a musician, really talented musician named Cassin Crooker, goes by the name Symbion Project. Okay. And he was also part of the founding member of the band Freeze Pop, which a lot of people know. So he's in Seattle, and he contributed some synthesizer sounds for the game. Rich Reland, who goes by Disaster Piece, he also contributed some synthesizer. And then there's a local producer, musician, guitar player named Jeff Stanfield. And he provided some sound samples of string instruments.
Nice.
I did the drums, and I'm also doing, I'm going to do some synthesizers myself. And so.
But all the development side, design, and everything, you did it by yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So I wrote all the code. I'm doing all the design, all the visual design. And, you know, I'm using Unity.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not, I didn't write all the low-level
game engine
code. What
makes it really easy?
Well, I mean, I worked on Unity,
yeah.
So like I feel like I made it. So it's like, yeah, I mean, I wrote all the code. Yeah, I understand Unity well because I was there very early. I watched it evolve,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I wrote the documentation, so
yeah,
I had
to
know
yeah.
it. Like I was testing it, so like I had to learn how that how does a game engine work. Well,
yeah.
let's evaluate it. Yeah, but the
it's team amazing
is small, yeah.
that you're working on your own. It's always, I mean, I'm always thinking that if you want to build a game, you have to have like a big team and at least a 3D designer and I don't know.
I think that the amazing thing about making games in 2015 and the recent years is that there's a proliferation of tools. There's a proliferation of styles. It's almost like there's been a new burgeoning interest around kind of rough and personal game experiences.
Mm.
So, you know, you'll have games like Dysphoria, or you'll have games like Mainichi, or Glitch Hikers. And they're these very simple, somewhat minimalistic games that kind of tell a story in a way, or exist to evoke one particular mood. And they don't need to be 3D. They don't need to be big productions. They can be 5-minute game experiences, and then you have this feeling, and then you know, and then you have, then you move on.
Yeah.
And so there's like so many tools. Like anyone that wants to make games, there's no excuse not to, because there's like, just don't try to make Halo, you
yeah.
know, because
yeah, yeah.
that takes 500 yeah. people to make Halo. And so if you're one person, or if you're two people, or maybe if you don't, you know Photoshop really well, or you don't know Unity or Unreal or Game Maker really well, then like,
yeah.
you know, find ways to learn that what you need to learn and practice and do and just show your work and like
yeah.
do little things and ship and ship and ship and play with other people
yeah.
and it's good.
It's amazing advices. I love that.
Yeah.
Your game sounds amazing. Let's take a look at your game right now.
I'm in the process
okay.
now of really crafting and fine-tuning the progression of the game.
Yeah.
So there is a lot to introduce to the player in terms of how do you make music
yeah.
with this game. And you're doing it by solving puzzles. So it's
yeah.
like the puzzles facilitate the learning of musicality and musicianship. And so there's so many things to teach in that regard, and keeping everything fun to learn, and maybe even without realizing that you're learning, is
yeah.
really important.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I'm sort of in that space with the game right now, you know, it's coming along. There's a lot of iteration. Like you try out some ideas, you try out a flow, you throw something away, and then you try again. So
yeah,
you know,
what's the meaning of stage clear there?
So you can see that there's some like some animated elements to the puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some bordered areas. These ones have dots, these ones don't, this one's
yeah.
slightly older. It's a color matching puzzle, so you're trying to find the right color and then using the stacking mechanic push it into place.
Nice.
So that's the puzzle aspect of the game. And as you do, every sound that you drop is making its own distinctive tone or, you know, percussion.
Yeah.
So the composition of the song emerges as you choose your instruments, and you can, you know, you can even like preview the sound
mm-hmm.
of it, and then think about both solving the puzzle and about how it sounds.
Yeah.
So there's no pressure in the game. There's no like time limits. There's no
game over.
There's no game over. Like the string game over is nowhere in Centris, and that was really important to me. You know, because I really am trying to get people to become musicians, and like music is such a universal human thing. It's a language. It's an experience. It's like intrinsic to our being.
Yeah.
But it's also because we live in this world where, you know, music is productized and commercialized, and we're exposed to creative musical creative works that are the product of many, many people that have many, many years of experience. So this creates a landscape that I've dealt with, and I think a lot of people deal with, of like, I'm not good enough. You know, like, I can't make something that sounds like what I love to listen to, so therefore I must not be a good musician. There's a kind of fragility there, right? And like a reluctance almost to try or to engage. And so if a game is going to facilitate growth in a person musically, it has to be a safe space to do that. Mm-hmm. So therefore, like, if someone is trying to play this game, like they're trying to make music, and they're like, oh, well, and the game is telling them that, you know, you lose, you suck at making music, you can't do it, then, like, well, if even the game is telling me I can't make music, then I must not be able to do it.
So it's all encouragement. There is no limit, really.
Oh. Beautiful. Thank you.
Beautiful. Animation. I like the animation.
This is like the debug level select for the alpha.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so there's some different, I consider them dreamscapes. And there's different colors associated with the dreamscapes. And so as you play, then you sort of move through this space, and it's kind of like a visualizer. It's kind of like a Zen mood setting.
Mm-hmm.
But it's I want to give people a beautiful place to exist within while they create something of their own.
Yeah.
And you know, and it is a game, so there's like all these puzzles at the same time. I'm also working with other artists now to create different styles of backgrounds, so kind of thinking about the game as an enabler of everyone's creativity, like broadcasting lots of different forms of creativity. This is coming with sort of more puzzle elements, like a better level progression, more instruments, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So this will be coming in the next few weeks. I'm still
kind
of in the crux of it.
Okay, your game was amazing, Samantha. I really loved it. Very creative. I love the fact that it has music, puzzles, the colors, the symbols. I really, really loved your game. It's very different, and I'm happy to see something different and something creative at the same time.
Thank you.
Do you have any events or special dates you want to tell everyone about?
Yeah, I'm working on the next update to the game. It's going to be coming in the next month or so. I'm also organizing an event that's a recurring event in Seattle called Invisible Arcade. So Invisible Arcade is like a big party for games, and we show it's curated, and you know, we have people come and play games on this huge screen. It's like a gigantic wall. It's like two stories tall, this wall.
Wow.
And their games are playable all night. You can come have some drinks and socialize with people that love games and discover some new cool stuff. And it's a Seattle-centric event. And so it's like a good place to come play in and discover games.
Nice.
Or like if you've like fallen out of loving games for any reason, you can come and reignite that passion. So keep an eye out for Invisible Arcade.
Yeah, that's nice. If you live in Seattle, you should definitely check this event every month.
You can check out patreon.com/invisiblearcade if you want to get in on that. Yeah. And centrisgame.com for Centris.
That's cool. Okay, final question here. If you have advices for anyone that want to start their business or their own game, all the advices that you have for those people that are afraid of failure.
Yeah, so don't be afraid of failure. Failure is like always the first step towards success. So I've had many failures with Centris, but it's almost like you just have to keep failing until you fail to fail. And then you succeed. And it's kind of amazing and miraculous and wonderful. So just do it. Like, don't worry about like the business license stuff until you want to go full time. And that stuff isn't too hard. Just like, if you have time to make games and people to make games with, do it. And just learn. It's good. There's no reason to not to.
What if they want to do full-time thing? What are your advices about that?
So
expect not to gain money.
I mean, have a nest egg of some kind. You know, I had a couple months. I had enough money to live off of for about 6 months when I went independent. So like know your burn rate and know how much you have in the bank. You know, double your estimates. Like if you think the game's gonna take 6 months, it's probably gonna take 12 or more.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind. You know, in Washington State, it's pretty easy to do business stuff. Like, you know, I registered an LLC, just learned how to do that in a day or two and then did it. And it doesn't require a lot, it just requires some research.
Okay.
So yeah, don't let it stop you. It shouldn't be too bad.
Thank you, Samantha. I'm very, very happy to have you on Level Up, and really thank you for your interview and your game. Don't forget to check out the game, Centrist.com, right?
Centristgame.com.
Centristgame.com.
Yeah. Thank you, Simo.
Thank you, Samantha.
I hope you liked the interview with Samantha and are checking out her new game, Centrist. If you may know, GDC happened lately, so don't forget to check out the new videos and announcements on Channel 9. That's it for today. Let me know what do you think about this new format for the show. I want to hear all your feedbacks. Let's make this show even better together. Until next time, see you.